In this weekly study of this great scripture, which is both very poetic, presents the highest ideal, and yet it is down to earth practical. It is practical, but not in the sense of bringing down the ideal. Swami Vivekananda has said in his beautiful book Practical Vedanta that there are two types of practicality. One is what is commonly called in society as practical, and that is bringing down one's ideal to one's level, pulling down the ideal, and thus it is things become practical. You don't have to change yourself. It is because you have brought down the ideal to your level. Thus, you do not evolve in that process. As he mentions, thus, for a thief, the most practical thing in the world is to go on thieving. That his ideal is made to suit this level. So, that is what commonly thought by the word practicality. That whatever I am, well, let me remain like that. And the ideal should be brought down to suit where I am. So, this is one way in which many people think of practicality. But this is really not practicality, because our minds will always long for the real, true, highest ideal. And thus we will not feel satisfied by pulling down the ideal. It may save us or save our inertiatic tendencies there, and may we, for a little while, we may feel satisfied, but the tremendous aspiration that the human beings have for the ultimate freedom, for the realization of our true self, for getting the highest bliss, getting perfect satisfaction and peace, those ideals will remain far away, and we will keep on inside longing for that. And thus, it is not truly practical. What is then the other way of practicality, which is what the scriptures prescribe, which is what Bhagavad Gita prescribes, and that is what we find in the lives of great saints who did not pull down their ideal, but transformed their lives so that that ideal now manifests in their life. You do not pull down the ideal, but then evolve yourself to the level of the ideal. So that is another kind of practicality that the scriptures speak of, which is very commonly told about in Vedanta, that don't pull down the ideal. The ideal has to be highest. You never make an attempt. Never do any such things in the name of practicality, pulling down the ideal. The ideal has to be the highest. It is not the question of idealizing the real, as Swami Vivekananda puts it there, that some people idealize the real, some others realize the ideal. So, we should be in the second category, that the ideal has to be highest, and we should realize or experience that ideal. So, for that, we have to find the actual practicable means. And in this 8th chapter, Lord Krishna is giving very important message about turning our minds to God. And in the last class we saw, he told to meditate on the Lord as the luminous figure, beyond all darkness, the wisdom incarnate. Kavim Puranam Anushasitaram Anuraniyan Anusmaredyah Sarvasya Dhataram Achintya Rupam Aditya Varanam Tamasah Parastat. A very beautiful image to meditate upon. The image should be psychologically conducive, where the mind gets automatically drawn. The luminous figure that draws the mind to it, that which is very bright, very full of wisdom, and that draws the mind of the person. Then it is the lordship, the governorship, and we all get drawn towards these things, you know, that who is the governor, president, because power is another important attraction for human mind. That which is very powerful, the mind gets drawn to that. We see this always, that the names, for example, who is the president of United States, who is the governor of our state, these are the sources of political power, so the mind gets drawn to them. And we listen to what the president has said, because that is the rulership of that attracts us, the power attracts us. And there was a great psychologist, psychoanalyst, Adler. And Adler's idea was that the drag for power is really an ultimate drag that we have. What Freud thought to be the libido or the sex drag, Adler thought that, well, sex also is a secondary manifestation of the drag for power. The sexual attraction therefore manifests itself through the desire to control, to manipulate. Those things automatically play a role in the sex desire, and therefore Adler's opinion was that this desire for power is more prominent or more primary in human beings, and therefore the lord of all, the mind gets drawn to that most powerful, under whose control everything works. And how is that controller? Controlling through inside. That is why Lord is called Antaryami, and that the controller from within. So think of Lord as the bright, as the wise, the most powerful being, and beyond all imagination. And yet we are imagining this. While imagining, we should remember this, that is beyond all imagination. And yet for the sake of meditation and concentration, we are making an idea, so that our minds can be glued to that. It is the question of gluing the mind. Many ask this question, that is it not just imaginary? What is real about that thinking of God as a bright figure? What does it mean? Well, the scriptures, the sages who wrote the scriptures, they fully understand this. They are not fools to tell us that, well, what you imagine, God is exactly like that. No, they understand the limitations of that imagination, but also the value of that imagination as a powerful tool. It is, this imagination is to be used as a tool to concentrate the mind on this ideal. Do we not use imagination to concentrate on certain things that we love? In fact, it happens automatically. Any person, for example, one may start thinking, say, my mother. So you start thinking of your mother and start imagining so many things about her. What does that imagination does? Oh, well, she might be now doing like this. She might now be probably asleep, or might have gone to shopping, or might be seeing a movie. Now you, the mother is, you are not seeing the mother, and yet in a way you are seeing. In a way you are holding the mother through the tool of imagination. You are thinking, concentrating on that through your imagination. So now use the tool to think of God. So hold on to God. One imagines otherwise some other things that, well, what is right now happening in the football game? Keep on imagining. So what happens? That imagination makes you concentrate on that football game. Now use that tool to concentrate on God. Have a strong, powerful imagination so that the mind will keep on veering around God, the highest ideal. It is a very potent and practical tool. Let the mind keep on turning around God. That is why this beautiful imagery is given. You may say that one can take anything as image. Yes, one can, theoretically speaking. But practically it is not possible for most of us. Practically speaking, we have to take the help of such imagery where the mind will automatically be drawn. Wherever the mind has the tendency to go, so it has the tendency to go to the bright, luminous figure, a very potent, powerful figure, the highest wisdom incarnate. So, and the governor of everything, the all-pervading, all these things, the mind goes to those things. And so imagine God as all this together and concentrate. Now another tool that we started discussing in the last class, but the time wasn't there, so we postponed that discussion till today. And that is associating this meditation, this attempt to put our minds on this figure with a sound symbol. Sound is very, I should say, the most important expression that we have, sound. So a sound symbol is to be associated for meditation. Use the name. The name is very powerful. But which sound is to be used? Again, there is a lot of discussion about it. Can any sound be used? Again, in principle, yes. Any sound can be used, because every sound, after all, has come from God and therefore can serve as symbol of God. Whatever comes from God can be used to reach God. Do you see the? Because it is connected to God. Like if you hold on to a radius, you can go to the center of a circle. Go on progressing along with that radius and in the proper direction, of course. Otherwise, you will go away from the center. But if you go in the proper direction, then that radius will lead you to the center. Because it has come from the center, so it can be traced back to the center. So, similarly, anything, you know, that is, that has come out from something, like if you catch the tail of a cow and then proceed, then you will get to the cow. If any, because it is coming from the cow. So similarly, all sounds, where are they coming from? They are coming from God. So go back holding, and then you will reach there. That is how many times the blind people, they find the thing that, okay, I got hold of something that is connected to it. So when I proceed with that, I will reach what it is connected to. So it is the sound has come from divine. We have the expression of how the sounds come. It is shown that Lord Shiva is just playing his that double drum. A small double drum in the hands of Lord Shiva is shown. It is called Damaru. Damaru is a small double drum. And then Shiva just makes it, shakes it, and it makes the dum 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 sound. But if we make it like that, not much will happen. But when the Lord does it, then all language, all words, in fact, the whole universe springs from that. And what is the world? It is solidification of sound. Everything is the sound solidified. What is, for example, take our own names. Our own name represents us. We are kind of solidification of that. Just as you have the information, you have some information in the computer and you print it out. That is called hard copy. In the computer, what you have is called soft copy. So, sound is the soft copy of which our bodies and other things, they are the hard copies, manifestation, that's all. So, this is just an imagery, don't stretch it too far, but the idea is this, that the sound becomes manifested, gets grossified, and this world is seen by our eyes, can be touched by our this touch sense, can be smelled, can be seen, can be heard. So that is all really originally the sound. So, in fact, there is a beautiful science developed in the ancient, especially the tantric literature. It is called sphota, means explosion, the big bang. The sound means the bang. So with that big bang, the world just projected from that. It is called sphota. This sphota means explosion. So with that explosion, the world came out from that primordial sound. So what sound should be used? The sound which ideally condenses the whole gamut of sound. And that is Om. So Lord is now going to tell about it. But before telling that, he tells in what should be the mental and physical attitude when we are sitting for meditation. There are the congenial, suitable, convenient ways by which our meditation can be put on the right track. There are these very helpful suggestions as how you should keep your body, how you should keep your head, how should the condition of the mind be, how should the breath be. All these things are very helpful for meditation. But please don't think that that is meditation. Like sitting in a proper posture helps meditation. But just sitting in the posture is not meditation. Breathing in a systematic or harmonious way is helpful for meditation. But just regular breathing doesn't mean that one is meditating. The meditation, the helps for meditation should be therefore understood to be And separate from meditation, they are aids for meditation. So Lord is describing them first. So I will read both these verses, the verse 11th and 12th and 13th. He first says that I will tell you that we had seen that in the last class. I will tell you that sound in short, in brief, sangrahena pravakshe yadaksharam veda vidu vadanti vishanti yad yatayo vitaragah yadichhanto brahmacharyam charanti tatte padam sangrahena pravakshe. That imperishable principle which the knowers of the Vedas describe, into which aspirants bereft of all desires enter, desiring which one lives the abstinent life of a student, that goal I shall tell you in brief. The whole this expanse of all the scriptures, all spiritual practices, whatever the austerities one perform, all of them are told in a condensed brief form. How brief? The briefest possible. One syllable. In that one syllable, everything is condensed and thus very easy to remember, easy to handle. That is the condensation, that it becomes easy for us to use it through condensation. So, condensing, bringing together, you see, it is not kind of abridging it. Bringing the important thing, removing the others. Condensing means whole thing, nothing is lost, only the size is made smaller. Like you make the zip files, so many files are there, big size, so you want to put them all in a small the size. So you condense them. Nothing is thrown out there. Everything is put in a condensed form, easier to handle. So, similarly, all the scriptures, all spiritual practices, every austerity, that is all put into this syllable. Which is that syllable? Lord says, wait, let me tell you something more before telling that. Sarvadvarani sanyamya manoridhi niruddhyacha murdhyadhyayatmana pranam asthito yogadharanam omityekaksharam brahma vyaharan mamanusmaran yaprayati tyajan deham sayati paramam gatim. There is the controlling all the inlets or the organs, confining the mind to the heart, fixing the life breath in the head, betaking himself to absorption in yoga, repeating the monosyllable Om, which is Brahman, and thinking of me, he who departs leaving the body attains the highest goal. This is the translation of these two verses, the verse 12th and 13th. Now let us try to see the details. That sarvadvarani sanyamya, controlling all the sense organs. They are called, they are the doors, dwara, because that is the our input devices, inlets, from which the world kind of enters in us. What is the world? World means something that we can see, hear, taste, touch or smell. That is the world. Through these five gates, the world enters into us. In fact, that is our perception of the world. So, now control it. In the best way of controlling, or rather the only way of controlling world, is controlling the sense organs. Not that let me bring about all these changes in the society, let me kill all the evil people in the world. There are ideas of, you know, making the world better. But the only way one can really make the world better is the tools by which the world gets made. Our sense organs, they make our world. And therefore, if we control that, we can make the world the best according to our ideal. That is the tool by which the world is made. It is somewhat difficult to understand for our externalized attitude but we feel that the world is out there and I have to change it there. But it is not so really. It is these inlets, they prepare world for me. That is my world. How do you know that there is this Vishwanath sitting here? How is there a Vishwanath? Well, I see, I can hear him if he speaks. I can touch him. So there are all these, you know, because of that I know that Vishwanath is there. Means what do I know? Just think, friends. The sight. Whatever is brought by the sight, whatever is brought by the touch, whatever is brought by the sound and others, these sense organs. So that is what is Vishwanath for me. See, this point is in a way simple, but we refuse to understand it. The things become complicated, not because they are complicated as such, but we don't want to understand the simple things, want to make it complicated, that there is this big world outside, whole universe, so many galaxies, infinite, go on counting, all mind-boggling. But where is it? It is all these sense organs make it. Can we understand this? It is, just see this. This is so logical, simple, that the world is this creation by our sense organs. And so, how can you make the world better? How can you make the world better? This answer is, just control your sense organs. That is what is making the world. And thus, if we can control them, see, the world will become naturally good for us. See, this is the idea. Sarvadvarani sanyamya. Control. Control it. That is the way the world becomes better. See, what is happening otherwise? Everything is getting into it in an uncontrolled manner. What is good and right, that may not get the chance to get in. What is not right, that just pushes inside and then creates all the difficulties. So, therefore this beautiful word, dwara, the door has been used. That all our sense organs, they are really the doors, and we must learn to use them as doors, not just as the holes. Holes means what? that anything can get in, there is a, you can't stop then, you can't control the entry. The door means the entry can be controlled. If you don't want somebody to get in, you can shut the door. If you want that, well, that's a nice person, I have my friend, so you open the door, let it come. So also, whatever is trying to make our world, see whether it is the right ingredient or not. If it is not the right ingredient, put it out, don't let it come in. If suppose you are cooking something and some dirt or dust wants to get into your cooking pot, would you allow? You won't allow that. That will spoil my cooking. You don't want that to get into your cooking pot. So similarly, because the thing is, you want it to be good. So our sense organs are cooking the world. They are making the world. So don't let those inlets control them, so that unwanted things won't enter. All the dirt, dust and such things won't enter there. And then the world will be nice. And then our Charlie will not have a problem that why all people, then such cruel people exist in the world and so forth. Well, that is how we make it. We have cruelty, so naturally our world automatically has it. It is not possible that if we don't have cruelty, our world will not have cruelty at all. It is, we make our world friends. So therefore, learning to control it, that is a spiritual practice. Learning to control the sense organs. And they are called the doors here. Mano Hridi Niradhyacha. Then the internal organ that combines all the senses and makes the whole picture together. Our sensory world, our world, why it appears to be consistent. Our eyes and our hands, all our different senses, they work in a coordinated fashion. There is my eyes give me the idea of how far is this microphone. And thus, my hands, if I want to touch it, they don't go here to hold the microphone. They will go here. There is a coordination between our sense organs. And therefore, the world appears to be so real. So that is the mind which makes everything so well coordinated and gives the impression that this world is real. So that resolve it into the basic consciousness. That is the meaning of this Mano Hridi Niruddhyacha. Hridi means the seat of consciousness. Consciousness, that sense of I. It is where the awareness and the modification of awareness. Awareness is basic. When we become aware of something, just to give the idea, this one has to do some abstract thinking to understand this principle of consciousness. That one becomes conscious, for example, of Anne sitting there, Rahul sitting there, Sheila sitting in the back. So there one becomes aware, awareness of Sheila, awareness of Rahul, awareness of Anne, awareness of microphone, awareness of chair. Now remove this particularization. And thus what you are left with is awareness. That is how the abstract thinking will give us some idea of awareness. Awareness is the fundamental thing. awareness or consciousness or the Sanskrit word. In fact, it is really difficult to convey that idea of the Sanskrit word in English. It is called chit, and it is translated as consciousness or pure consciousness. But somehow, especially in the modern times, the word consciousness is not understood in the English language as what is meant by chit. So therefore, some other words, adjectives are used by the teachers of Vedanta. And the early teachers of Vedanta here in United States therefore use the word pure consciousness. So why pure consciousness? Consciousness as chit is automatically pure, but as it is understood here, it is a product of brain. It is really a big problem that how many psychologists and neurologists here think that consciousness is the product of brain. What understands the brain? Does brain understand brain, or you become aware of brain? Brain is something that still floats there in the awareness. Brain does not produce consciousness. But that is how there are these many things here that there is no brain, no consciousness. That is not true. Whether brain is there or brain is not there, consciousness is there. That's a no-brainer. Good. So, it is, he says that is to be, the mind is to be resolved into this basic awareness. And Murdhni means bring that awareness to the highest level. Now this has the reference to the philosophy where the awareness has been grafted or let us say mapped into different physical positions just for understanding, just for designating their relative levels. That the lowest is considered to be in the base of the spinal column. It is called Mooladhara, where it is considered that the awareness is asleep. The self-awareness does not function. The only thing that is the subject-object awareness of the grossest type that seeks only the food and the sex pleasure, nothing more than that. The desire for food, desire for procreation, that is what is sought at that level. Then it rises further. It has another name. It rises, goes on rising. It is then goes to the level of navel. When it goes to the level of, before that it goes to the level of sex organ, then it goes to the level of navel, then it goes to the level of heart, then it goes to the level of this throat, then it goes to the level of this between the eyebrows, and then it goes to the level in the head. So these all different levels, they are called chakras. That word somehow has become popular in the Western world, chakra. So it is, and these chakras are not really to be dissected in the body. They are the names are given just to again indicate their evolution, the evolution of awareness. It ultimately merges in the awareness of that oneness. So, just by imagining this, push your awareness there and Then breathe gently. It is push your whole force, so to say, at that point. Whatever attention you can summon, put there. And there, that is called yoga dharana. In that state of yoga, now what you should do? Om ityekaksharam brahma. Om is the one syllable Brahman. Brahman is all pervading reality. That is the meaning of, root meaning of this word Brahman. Brah means to spread. And that which is spread everywhere, all over, which has pervaded everything, therefore is called Brahman. And that is now given in one syllable. This all pervading infinite reality given in one syllable, that Om. Om is that syllable. It is Ekakshara Brahma. It is Brahman, but one syllable Brahman. It is condensed in one syllable, given in the form of just one single syllable, like the whole tree being given in the form of a seed. Tiny seed could contain the whole huge tree. So similarly, this one symbol can, in fact does, contain the whole Brahman. But when is that seed useful as tree? The seed in itself is not tree, but if you cultivate it, from that seed will come out the tree. So for a cultivator, the seed is synonymous with tree. I have got the tree. Now only I have to do the cultivation. I know how to cultivate. I am ready to cultivate. For such a person now, the seed is synonymous to tree. So therefore, this before telling about this Om, Lord gives this introduction. This is your ideal. This is the Brahman. This is the what you are really seeking. This is the essence of all scriptures, provided you are going to manifest it, cultivate it. You have to work. It is not that it is going to happen automatically. It is cultivation requires hard work, disciplined work. And so this cultivation of this Om, it goes on then blossoming. All the inner potential, each soul, as you know, each soul is potentially divine. And the goal is to manifest this divinity. How to do it? It is control. Swamiji says there, control it. So, controlling this means cultivation requires control. So, as you go about it, one can keep on seeing that growth inside. The spiritual life starts blossoming then. You can see that the seed is getting germinated. It is slowly you will start seeing the shoots, provided you are cultivating. Otherwise nothing will happen. Many get some mantra or something from a guru and say nothing is happening. It didn't help me. Well, it will help you if you cultivate. If you don't cultivate, it will not help you. It is therefore, it has to be given only to those who are ready to cultivate. That is why Jesus said that don't throw pearls before swine. Because the pearls will be gone and swine has no use for them. So, similarly, this great advice is not to be given to those who are not going to make use of it. This is therefore told for a person who is making the mind prepared to put this great idea into practice. It requires tremendous effort, discipline in all directions. So he says that keep on doing it. If somebody gives up the body while remembering me using this syllable Om, when you do that, then gradually the image starts becoming stronger, stronger, more and more powerful, to the extent that it will envelop, it will overshadow the whole world and will become the most and then the only thing in the world, most prominent and then the only thing in the world. It is that beautiful book, Meditation and Spiritual Life, gives how the different steps in this transition. It appears that this sensory world is real. God is something my imagination, and I am trying to imagine or meditate or put my mind on God by using this mantra. And you try doing it. Gradually the change occurs to show you that the world is also real and God is also real. World and God. Then continue, don't stop, continue the practice. What happens then? The world is real, but God becomes more prominent than the world. The God is the ruler of the world. God is the essence of the world. God becomes important, more important than the world. And then the world gets swallowed up in God. There is nothing left. God alone remains. So that is how the transition, the spiritual evolution to the ultimate goal proceeds. And Lord says, even at the time of death, if you do it, that's enough. Because at the time of death, you find an opening there. And so, it is just like an exit. You are driving on the highway and you want to go to some town. When you see that the exit, the name of the town may be there, or the road that leads to that town would be shown there. Now you have to take the exit. If you miss, then go ahead again. It is you have missed it. So you have to go a further long distance. If you are driving in some state like Nebraska, another exit may come after 50 miles. So it is like that, this human life, the exit is there in this human life. At the time of death, grab the opportunity and take this exit and get liberated. Otherwise, if the mind is not there, if mind is thinking that what is my daughter doing and what is my son doing and what is my grandchildren doing, so then what will happen? The exit will be missed. It is therefore concentrate the mind on God using this one syllable Brahman, and that is Sayati Paramam Gatim. Such a person comes to the highest goal of life. Highest goal of life is thus achieved. And see, it is so practicable. What Lord has told, nothing is really very difficult or impossible. And we do much more difficult and such things. You know, it is not that we don't do difficult things. Most of the things that we study in schools, they are far more difficult than this science. But yet we feel that this is more difficult because we are not so intent to realize the goal. If we look at it, think of God, this is the beautiful tool to think, and just we have to put this simple tool to use. And if we do it, see, the progress is assured. There is no doubt about it. We can actually see the progress. That is why this is a science. This is not a theory or some kind of a belief system. Many times religion is preached as a belief system, faith. This is not faith in that sense at all. This is faith means faith for your verification. Like you are told that if you go on this Angel Street down, you will go to the downtown Providence. Now, you accept it on faith, but then you go, you actually realize, actually find the downtown there. So similarly, it is told as a matter of faith, but not just faith. It is accepting for experimentation and verification. So one should verify that in life, and we shall continue that further in this chapter is from that point of view very important chapter, that how to mold our personality, mold our life to tie it to this ideal. So we shall continue that discussion. Any questions? Let us conclude then with the closing prayers. गीता सुगीता कर्तव्या किमन्यत् शास्त्र विस्तरैः या स्वयं पद्मनाभस्य मुखपद्माद्विनिसृता एकं शास्त्रं देवकी पुत्रगीतम् एको देवो देवकी पुत्र एव एको मन्त्रः तस्य नामानि यानि कर्माप्येकं तस्य देवस्य सेवा श्रीकृष्णार्पणमस्तु।